Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We are back again. I feel like it's been a really, 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 really long time. It hasn't been a really long time, but it's kind of been a long time, at least in my mind. Lee is he's doing something tonight. He's not here, but he'll be back. He's putting in some work, but you know he'll get finished with that soon, and he'll be back rolling. So, but I got my special guest host, Rodney. Rodney's on here, so we're going to be talking some stuff. I know there's a couple things we want to chop up, so I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to be back and to actually have some time to be able to get on live, you know, and break down some content for you guys. Because, honestly, I've been trucking away at school. You know, I just finished out the semester for the summer and whatnot, so that was just this past week, you know, past Friday. So I got the whole summer. I'm excited to be doing a gang of shows. I want to do a lot more shows. We'll be a lot more active. We'll have Lee back from his work, and we'll be chilling. So, you know, we'll break down some stuff today. Rodney, you out there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You hear me? Oh, we good.
Yeah, we can hear you good.
Yeah.
We can hear you good. How's my quality sound? Coming in all right?
You sound good. You sound like you got a lot of bass in your voice, like you're about to holler at somebody. You good? You sound good.
I think that's because
you sound good.
That might have, you know what I mean? That might have something to do with I had a nice steak. I went to dinner earlier, you know, today being Mother's Day. So I took my mother out, you know, to a nice restaurant, and I got a nice steak.
That's dope.
16 ounce. Yeah. You know, she was very happy. It was a good evening, and I enjoyed some steak, and I got nice and full. So I'm very motivated to talk. You know what I mean? It's brain food.
That's dope.
But I don't eat.
Shout out to Mama Keys.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
It's
a big day.
Oh,
you know, so and don't forget about the fathers too, because
real question,
you know, Mother's Day
don't get much love, bro. Let's be real.
Yeah, no, facts. That's what I'm saying. Like every year passed, and I'm always like, damn, how come Father's Day doesn't even like get promoted? Like Mother's Day in stores and everything is they sell so much stuff for Mother's Day, it's like that, but Father's Day don't really get much love, man. And because of that, then people don't really, you know, people are influenced by, they don't show much love. And people don't really go out as much, you know, for Father's Day. The place that I went tonight, you know what I'm saying? The place we went tonight, we had reservations. You know, me and my brother had made reservations prior to it. And the place I went was jumping. Place had, you would have thought there was 200 people in there. You know, people kept flowing through the door. It looked like a parade.
Well, there's two reasons for that. Either Mother's Day or graduation was on the same day.
That's a good point.
That's the best. It's graduation season.
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good point. I wasn't even thinking about that when I was in there today. It might have something to do with the fact
it might have been both.
I mean, nah, I'm a little salty because it might have something. I wasn't thinking about it because I'm not thinking about people who's graduating because I'm a little salty because I ain't graduating. I mean, I'm graduating, but I'm not graduating now. Like,
yeah.
This was supposed to be my last semester of college, and it's actually my second to last semester. So, yeah, it's my second to last, so I'm taking – the one coming up in September, that'll be my actual last semester, and then I'll graduate this time next year instead.
Wait, man, look, just keep working. You're going to be good, man. I'm a freshman. I'm a sophomore now, but I just finished my first semester, so I got a lot more to go. So. But, yeah, man, let's get to the subject, man. Let's go. What we got to talk about today?
Yeah, so thank you for that. Thank you for – no, pushing me ahead real quick. What's it called? That's why I have you here. That's why I got him on.
That's why I have you.
I need somebody to stop me from rambling. because I have a habit of doing that. Usually Lee's going to have me help me not do that, but that's why we got Rodney here to help me not do that because he's at work. You know what I'm saying? Lee's putting in that overtime tonight, you know, on a Sunday, so he's got to do that. He's with the wife and everything. You know, when I say he's putting in work, he's not literally at work. He's just, it's a big day. He's with the wife, and I imagine he's doing lots of things. So he couldn't be here tonight. So that's that thing.
Yeah.
You know, usually Lee's vacationing and stuff like that. But yeah, shout out to Lee, absolutely. That's our dog right there. That's my dog. So, what's it called?
Me and Lee, we're long overdue. We got to do an episode together again. I think we're going to do it maybe once or twice.
That's so true. I noticed that. The last couple ones we did, Lee hadn't been around for the ones when you jumped on. He just happened to not, you know what I'm saying, that we get a show together and Lee can't get on the same night. So that's unfortunate. Right. We got to get you guys both on at the same time.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially when because we still do got albums dropping, but that's a whole other subject. Let's get to the work. We got to talk about.
All right. So, what I wanted to say, so I've been seeing these headlines lately. It was actually just earlier today. Earlier today, I was on YouTube, and you know, it's kind of funny that I say YouTube headlines. Because, I mean, I guess it looks like that's where I'm getting my news from. But it's actually legit because depending on what you're looking for, a lot of news hits YouTube pretty fast. Especially having to do with a lot of, you know, because I follow a lot of MMA stuff. So a lot of MMA news,
mm-hmm.
official MMA news, drops on YouTube
mm-hmm.
almost instantly. Like if a fight happens or boxing news. I've been following a lot of boxing lately, and any boxing news, fights, updates, announcements, anything like that, interviews, boxing, ASAP drops on YouTube. Also, a lot of battles drop on YouTube. Battle rap interviews
and
drop
wrestling.
On YouTube. Exactly. Wrestling news drops on YouTube. There's a lot of stuff. YouTube is like a news source nowadays. You can really just catch your news just on YouTube. That just goes to show how things are evolving.
It's really Twitter. Trust me. You be on Twitter. Twitter is like the new era of newspapers. Trust me.
I used to preach that all the time to people. I mean, just even being on your phone is like reading the newspaper nowadays. It's the equivalent to,
mm-hmm.
you know, people, you know, old heads reading newspapers back in the day in the morning. But instead, we just pull out our phone. And Twitter, you have, you know, your news feed. It's the same thing as reading a column in a newspaper.
Yep.
The things that I saw today. And I actually have the video still up. I meant to finish it before we got on the show because I wanted to hear what he had to say. But the headline is this, and it's from 15 Minutes of Fame Radio, so you know. And this just dropped, this was on the 11th, so this dropped 2 days ago. And I was surprised that Rodney didn't contact me ASAP and tell me about this. And I'm kind of disappointed. I know he heard about it.
I think I know where he's going to contemplate
that he didn't hear this. So the headline says, so this is what I read, and I got excited. I bugged out, and then I looked on the side, and, you know, on YouTube now, everything says new, so I'm like, damn, these are all,
mm-hmm.
okay, so anyways, exclusive, Murder Mook talks his return.
Mm-hmm.
And why he's battling A-Verb. Yo.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the side, I read the side one from Rare Breed Entertainment. It says,
mm-hmm.
A-Verb sends early shots about Murder Mook battle on, doesn't say on, but it does say RBE. And I heard when I watched the first, you know, 5-6 minutes of Murder Mook talking on 50 Minutes of Fame Radio, and he mentioned RBE too. So now I'm thinking, they're doing Murder Mook versus A-Verb on RBE. Rodney,
they're doing
Mook versus A-Verb.
I'm going to give you the storyline of how this was announced. I think maybe Thursday of last week, before lift his soul. What was lift? No, it was the Pearly Gates 2. Pearly Gates 2 happened last weekend. The Thursday before that event, RBE announced that Murder Mook was returning. At first, we all thought that Murder Mook was battling on that night. But then the next day, they said, no, he wasn't battling. But he was definitely talking about his return. Then they went on. Then they let Mook get on stage, talk a little bit. They didn't say who yet, though. But they talked about Town Limits, about why coming back, et cetera. And here's the news on Town Limits, by the way. According to ARP, the first round and second round is 4 minutes, I think, and 30 with a 30-second grace period, and the third round unlimited. All right. So, and then the next day, we started to hear rumors about the opponent being Verb, and I think Paste kind of started a rumor when he told Verb in their battle. So I hear you got Lux next. So and then ever since that day, Verb's been talking crazy on Twitter. Next thing you know, he announced that he was battling Mook, which and then Mook confirmed it, and then ARP confirmed it. Next thing you know, it's everywhere. Verb's been talking crazy. Omar Epps commented saying it's gonna be a good one. Verb went at Omar Epps. Joe Buttons put a prediction saying he might have Mook, but Verb is nice. Verb went at Mook. That's the storyline. That's how it got announced. So it is official, and the date will be on August the 18th. They're currently trying to make the RBE Mook card right now. And on the timeline, since that announcement was announced, we have been making dream cards since. We hear rumors that Lux might be on the card. Now, against who, we don't know. People trying to put other battles on the card. Maybe Daylight versus Lux, or maybe JC versus Lux on that card. Maybe Cliff versus Cal might be on that card, etc. Now, whether or not these battles are actually going to happen on the card, we don't know yet. But I think RB is going to give us the news on when that about the other battles pretty soon. I mean, we got a lot of time. We got at least 2 or 3 months, so we'll see. Storyline of the announcement of Murder Mook versus A-Verb on RB.
Man, that's crazy. So what I just think of off the top is like, so I'm watching this interview with Mook, and I didn't hear all what he said because it's 20 minutes long. I only watched like 5-6 minutes into it, and I wanted to hear what he was gonna say. But he said at first, I know in the beginning he was saying that, I think he was saying RBE had been contacting him like consistently, like they hit him up with a bag, and he said at first they hit the first bag. Well, okay, the first. The first check that they offered him to battle the first time, he said it was like nowhere realistic to what he was going to accept. But then they kept hitting him up again and again. So I'm thinking they must have made counter offers, like, all right, then we'll give you this, then we'll give you this, then we'll give you this. And they must have kept, I'm thinking they must have kept going up each time. And then it must have came to somewhere to his liking, because now, I mean, he's on camera looking happy to be battling A-Verb. I mean, I wouldn't imagine him to battle Verb out of anybody, but I mean, that's a big match. I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they had to spend a lot of money just for that main event. So get Lux on there too. I mean, that's an expensive card just right there. I mean, Mook said that they're calling it the Mook card. I mean, Mook was like, calling it the Mook card.
Unless they change the name, I'm thinking that's what people are calling it right now, because we don't know the actual name of the card is yet. Now, if it actually is called the Mook card, that's crazy. It lets you know how great you are as far as battles, as far as legendary status. I mean, But what do you think overall about this?
Yo, I mean, I'm very excited. I'm very excited about this. This is huge because, man, I'm excited to see Mook battle somebody who, I mean, because, I mean, Averb is one of my favorite guys, like, one of my favorite guys to watch. Like, I watch Averb battle any day. Like, I don't care, like, if people, he gets a lot of hate nowadays. People usually say, oh, like, Averb was trash, like, oh, he lost. Like, when they said he lost the gym and everything, like, I still go back and watch it. And, like, in the battles when people said he was trash, I'll go watch it, and I enjoy it. Like, I'm just a fan of Verb. It don't really matter, like, to me. So it's always exciting if Verb, no matter who he battles, it's dope to me off the rip. I was the only person.
His first round in that gym guy was crazy.
I was the only person at Mass 3 last year when Verb battled Sharon, only person that in my relative area or that I could even like point out in the whole venue that was like cheering for Verb. Like I was the only one reacting to his bars. I was the only one like not really caring about what Sharon was saying. Like everybody was reacting to Sharon. Like, and Sharon has some good bars, but I was just probably the only person I even noticed supporting Verb, and I thought Verb was fire. So I don't know.
I heard reactions. I heard some reactions. He let his hand go.
Yeah, no, he was getting reactions, but like I said, in my relative
area, it wasn't
area,
like compared to Sharon though. I got you.
Yeah, exactly. Like in my row that I was in, like the people that were immediately around me in my relative area were not the ones reacting. Like I was the only one reacting with the people that were around me. And then in the front and like closely around the stage is where I could see people reacting to Verb. But where I was at, it was just me. And but anyways, it's like it's always exciting for me to see Verb. So him to battle Murray Mook, man, that's a dream battle. That's pretty much the biggest battle in a long time. I can't even think of a bigger battle than that in recent memory. Like, can you think of a bigger, more high stakes battle than that in the last? Can you think of a more high stakes battle than that recently? Besides like Lux and Hollow, maybe. I don't even know if that's as big as this.
Lux and Clips was at Lux and Clips
was Lux
and Ars, Clips and
Clips
and Hollow definitely.
You think Lux and Arsenal is
well,
the biggest as Mook and
Verb? Honestly, yeah. Because this was supposedly Arsenal's last match, and it was against Lux. And we know Lux is a pretty consistent battler, despite whether or not you had that person win or losing. And despite or not, in the beginning, when the battle was first announced, people were kind of disappointed that it wasn't Mook or Hollow or maybe Joe Budden. It's the matchup started growing on everybody, and it was a well-anticipated battle as far as the feedback of it, if we're being honest.
It's just,
and it wasn't like it was a huge...
Yeah, it's just like, to me, is like, it's hard to say what Lux is because every match with Lux at this point is like, you know, the comparison that was made for a long time, like the narrative is that Mook never battled, like, he never took somebody from this era, like, somebody who's current right now, someone who's, like, one of the top dudes right now. That's what they say.
Right.
But then when you talk about
and
Lux, Lux has taken a lot of guys. Like, if you really look at it, like, I don't care what nobody's, he's taken, like, three or four dudes, basically, from this current era that are nice. Like, he took Arsenal, he took Hall, he took Clips, and he took Calico. That's four top dudes right now, right off the bat.
Now, for years, let's be real, in the GOAT conversation had four people. It was Clips, Hollow, Mook, and Lux. Lux battled all three of those guys since he's returned in 3 years. He battled in 2014 against Hollow and against Mook. Then in 2015, he battled Clips. Like, what I want to say. despite like Lux also being an expensive battler too, when he does get paid, he doesn't half-ass himself at all. And even if his performance probably isn't as good as maybe his last performance or performance that he used to, like people might have a comparison that the Hollow rounds might be better than the Calico rounds, or the Cliff rounds wasn't as good as the Hollow rounds or the Cal rounds, or the Arts rounds wasn't better. But you still have good bars in there that's like, damn, Lux was right. That 9-minute first round was crazy. You treat me like royalty. Look how they feed grace to the king. Lux has been booked more than Mook because of the bag. Somehow, ARP came through with the bag. ARP shot to Lawrence, all the staff. They came through with the bag and came through in the clutch to get it. So now Mook is here. Now Mook has to show that he can hang with us and not just – and because the only battle that we honestly are stuck with as far as Mook's return is the Iron Battle and the Lux rematch. Iron Battle, we all know what happened. It was bad for both sides, mostly Iron, though. The Lux battle, it was cool. Wasn't crazy. Wasn't momentum shaking. To be honest with you, as far as a fan, when I go to watch that battle, I watch just to listen to Lux's first round. I love his first round in that battle. Personally.
His first round was nasty.
But I loved his first round. I loved that Lost Boys line, the paint that a line, like the in that same picture, no niggas took a whole coat off you. Now drop a paint thinner. Ain't this was your West Side man slipping you Dayquil? Let me find out. He was one of 20 niggas in the shower waiting to J. I love his first round personally. I could quote a few bars from Mook, but like me, because I started watching battle rap in 2014. Over the years, I got better with understanding bars, catching bars. So every time I do end up seeing that battle because of Lux first, I'm like, well, hell, Mook won. So let me see if there was some bars that I didn't catch before that I can catch easily now. Some bars, some bars, yeah, that was good. That was nice. Why did you write that? I think he might step hit up bar wise because I've seen a couple of freestyles he's done. And they were nice to me. Ball wide, they were nice. So I think Mook's gonna be good, but the part that he hits the hardest most is the angles. And as long as Mook can kill with angles, I think Mook's gonna be all right. But can he hang ball wise? That's the thing. If you don't have bars, most of the thing you're saying is pretty much irrelevant. Because now that you can't have a punchline or a bar. During your angles, you're gonna damn near get booed. Now, luckily for Mook, this isn't on URL or on the big stage right now. This could be a good let me get my rust off type battle before it can get surfed if that battle ever finally happens. But besides that, I think Mook's gonna be okay. But can he hang with the new era of battle rap? I don't know. We gotta see in August. I'm excited, though. I'm very excited because I've been waiting to see Mook come back for the longest. Remember last time I was on here, I was talking about we waited for Mook so long. You got Hollow spitting rounds that was originally for Mook against Tay Rock in the third. Surf did with the Tar Heel scheme, with the Mook crossover scheme. He used on T-Top before he went to jail. Surf's free, by the way, before he went to jail. And it's to the point where we waited for Mook so long, Cortez made on Summer Madness before Mook did, but before Mook came back. And that's the problem. No, and I love Cortez, but come on, dog. Mook, I'm glad he's finally back. Cortez finally getting the respect that he deserves, support. He's on Summer Madness. Ole Red's getting the respect that he deserves now with him being champion of the year. Especially with the state he was on last year, finally. But so much has happened since Mook has returned it's like, goodness gracious, it's to the point where we damn near don't need you. But since you are a pioneer in battle rap, it's hard to not mention you with things. And of course, people are still gonna call you for interviews. So they're gonna ask you about Surf. They're gonna ask you about Hollow. They're gonna ask you about this guy. They're gonna ask you about that guy. Of course, what's gonna keep us questioning? What if Mook comes back? When is Mook gonna come back? Finally, he's back. So now, all the stuff that he was talking, he has to back it up. The bread wasn't right. Stuff can't save you now because the bread was right. You accept the challenge, and I don't think he's scared. I think he's ready. But is he ready for how the people are going to critique him? That's the thing. Because we're gonna break down bars. We're gonna break down his angles. We're gonna try to either admire or criticize the way he rhymes. Unfortunately, there's gonna be haters regardless. So of course, there's gonna be people that's against him. But if he shows out against Verb, you're gonna get high praise. If he flops against Verb, he's gonna get destroyed by everybody.
Yeah. Yo. So after listening to what you just said, look at this. The first thing I said was that Mook's, like, the anticipation for him coming back is a lot different than Luck taking somebody this year. If we would have seen Luck take somebody, he just took somebody last year. He took somebody the year before. Like, when we know Luck ain't scared to battle these guys. Like, he'll pretty much battle anybody. Like, I mean, not anybody, you know, like that. But, like, if it's a top guy and the people want it, well, that's what Luck says. If the people ask for it, then I'll do it. And, you know, that's how Mook, we've been asking for him to take guys,
and then the business guy
he doesn't respond because the people want it. He wants to want it, and for him to want it, the money need to be right. So it doesn't really go off of hunger for Mook. I don't think it's a business thing, which is, I mean, that's okay. But I think that while thinking about that, is also got to consider is that think about, like, the way Mook's material was for Total Slaughter, I think was catered, because that didn't even really sound like Mook. Like, compared to his other battles, that didn't even, like, I think he was catering his material to the type of crowd that he expected to be there. So he was trying, like, he was going for 3-0, and he brought material that he knew that crowd was going to, that it was going to hit for. Because the crowd,
yeah,
that was,
but so,
in
but
there
not everything,
were,
not everything
really,
in that battle was good though. Go ahead, my bad.
I know, and that wasn't, and also, consider this, that wasn't a real battle rap crowd, was it?
That thing was like a concert.
Surf said the best way.
It was a Joe Budden concert. There was all there
exactly.
For Joe Budden, and since Eminem was involved in it, the support Slaughterhouse told Slaughterhouse. I still wish they could do it. Personally, I still want them to do a Total Slaughter 2 because I want to see Royce in the ring. I want to see Royce the 5'9 in the ring, maybe Crook, maybe Joel. I want to see them in the ring. I want to see what they can do.
Yeah, but
Joe's retired now, but I wouldn't mind seeing Joe get back because I think now he learned from his mistakes. Only thing I think I have a problem with that he was rapping too slow. And he could have, like,
right,
delivered some of his bars, yep, a little bit better. But overall, he was fitting.
Yo, I don't want to get too carried away with this. What I want to say is my last topic is that I think that because Mook is returning to RBE, it's definitely weird that he's not going to come back and take Verb on URL. I'm sure there's a reason to that. But since he's coming back on RBE, I think in his mind he knows the difference, and he understands the way he's got to come to get this crowd to react. They're not going to react to the bars that he was doing on Total Slaughter. He can't come like that. Like, he's going to need to an RBE crowd.
Some bars he can.
Right.
Some bars he
RBE
can.
Crowd
some other
gonna,
bars, not so much.
They got high expectations over there. I mean, like one of my favorite guys, Oops. Like, Oops. Isn't Oops from RBE?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
the old red and, battle, the daylight battle.
Yeah, like when they did Oops versus Daylight, I mean, that just shows, like, RBE, they want to hear good material, But at the same time, like you also seen them react to Oops for His Daylight. And not saying that that wasn't a good battle. To me, I like that kind of shit. Like, I like when there's realness in a battle, and it's not
that was powerful for
guys,
both sides.
You know, trying to kill each other. You know what I'm saying? Like I like that they were it was like a deep battle. You know what I'm saying? And some people didn't like that, but what I'm trying to say is that it does show that on RBE, like you can bring like totally different styles. Like Mook doesn't need to come bar heavy and just, you know what I mean, be really lyrical. He can do different styles, but I just don't think there's a lot of bars like that would have hit the last time that aren't going to fly this time. So, I mean, he might get reaction, but I don't think that it'll get the credit if he would have come that way. So I think I think he knows, what's it called, coming back on RBE, that the type of game that he's got to come with, especially versus Averb, who I expect him to be fire. I mean,
lyrical.
I don't doubt that he uses
and
a
and
lot
thing
of...
about Verb. Go ahead.
I don't doubt that Verb uses a lot of the material he had for Lux for Mook, because if he's going to take this battle, I don't know if he'll get Lux as well. I mean, I don't know if that would amplify his chances or if that would turn it down, but I don't doubt he uses, because if he has some of his best stuff for Lux for years, might as well use some stuff that you've taken time writing, because if you only, I mean, he does have three months to write, but he's probably known about this for a bit longer than that. You know, they've probably been in the works for a while longer. But he definitely want to be on his A game. It's crazy. Just standing in front of Mook when he hasn't, just standing in front of Mook, that's crazy. Right there is just crazy. I ain't even going to try to break that down anymore. I can't imagine who's be getting their souls ripped out in front of Mook. So, Verb's got to be absolutely impeccable in this battle.
And I think another dope thing about this battle is because it's on RBE. And I think this battle is going to help push RBE as a channel to a whole other level. Because I've been saying for years that RBE doesn't get the respect that it deserves. Like, I think maybe after the I think it was before the goddamn announcement, I was saying, yo, RBE doesn't get the respect it deserves. Like, I understand with the saying, if it ain't on URL, it don't count. But let's be real, this stuff counts. And a lot of these battles outside URL, just because it's not on URL doesn't mean it's not fire. Like, we got a lot of classics that are outside URL. RBE is one of those that provide those. And if we are judging off leagues, RBE is at least top five without question. And then I did a list on like the best leagues in order. I had URL number one, KOTD at two, UW at three, RBE at four, and Bullpen at five. And then I said Guerrilla Warfare was at six. UW sucks.
Hey, wait, y'all put me in this shit? What the fuck?
Yo, what's good, Raj?
Raj?
What's
the
up,
hell,
bro? How
Raj?
You doing?
Just came out of nowhere. UW sucks.
Bro,
why
you
dumb sucks, bro? Come on.
Because the league owner makes poor decisions and the league is now trash. You book high name battlers, pay them tons of cash, except you have a poorly ran event. And here's the thing, you're putting all that money in the thing is about UW, Arsenal put a lot of money into the people that he was paying to battle. But he put very little into the infrastructure of the league, into his talent and whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm
saying.
So
when you do that, you lose continuity. Like, your league just doesn't have as much continuity or sustainability because your money was paying people who aren't even loyal to your league. You feel me? So,
that's facts. And we can go ahead and name anybody outside Rad B that's from UW. So I got you.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's other things that are wrong with them too, but, like, they haven't had a good card in a while, right? Like, what was their last good card?
The Lux Ars card?
That card was
good?
That
was a good card on paper. On paper, it was good. Overall, it wasn't a bad card.
I wouldn't say it was good,
Rad B and Chris were decent. No, I'm saying on paper, but before the event even happened, I'm saying on paper, name-wise.
But here's the thing, like, having a good event, I mean, I'm kind of speaking to the quality of the event, I guess, you know, not the quality of the card. You feel me? But anyway, so what were we talking about, top five leagues? I'm sorry, I got to let you finish. I didn't even let you finish.
What I was saying
was, like, RBE wasn't getting enough respect that it deserved. I was saying it's at least top five best league in battle rap. Like, I was just naming the orders, but I was saying UW is in top five. It's top – I mean, RBE is top five without question. I wasn't even trying to talk about UW, but you came. I know what you're saying. UW sucks. But I was just showing love to RBE because I feel like RBE has been slept on and not respected for the longest. Like, one of my favorite battles from RBE is – go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real. I feel like RBE did have a dry spot, though. Like, I'm not sure when – I want to say it was earlier this year. Or not this year.
That was because of Goods and Gems, if we're being honest.
Right.
Goods and Gems fight what called the dry spot. And
yeah,
it's not their fault. Because
that's very possible.
John and Big K went at it. And then before that, Loso and Show Off. So that part wasn't really them. It was just Gems and Goods. And I finally looked at the battle recently. The battle was decent, but it just wasn't like a grudge match. And then
I mainly agree with you. I think RBE is a top five league. I mean, especially because I don't have UW in my top five, right? So it would probably be URL, KODD, KODD, Don't Flop.
Don't Flop too, definitely.
Don't Flop, and then RBE could be next, Bullpen could be next, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think also RBE, they have some core talent. And I feel like
their
core talent is, like, pretty well-respected fans. So, like, I mean, for their core talent, like, you could argue, I'd say JC's more URL, but he was RBE for a while. Obviously, you have Big Cannon. I think Big Cannon's huge for them. No pun intended, but, yeah, so they have their core talent. But lately, they've been good at bringing people in, right? That's kind of their thing now. Like, I don't So
they help build Loso even more.
Yeah, they have a good balance. But what's also cool about them is they do have consistent PPVs, right? So they're always doing that. That's probably I have to guess that's how they have the money for this Mook battle, right? Because there's that, like, when that got announced, I was surprised that was, you know, the money they were going to have the money for that. So that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
You know,
Go ahead.
All right, look, Rodney. How about them Celtics, bro? Celtics.
Yeah.
What was it plus 28? How much they win?
Yeah, it was something crazy. No, I forget the final score, but it was 20 plus, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown went off, too. I think he had 23 points, 9 rebounds.
Both rooks, bro.
LeBron.
Tatum had a good game, too.
LeBron had 15. The defense held him down for 5 for 16, shooting 5 for 16. 83-108.
Yeah, that's a 25-point game, so...
Yeah, that was helpful.
So basically, Celtics are nice, and we don't even have our two best players.
Definitely. Gordon was out at the beginning of the season.
All right, let's get to it, though. Keys, who do you have the Celtics winning the series?
I mean, of course, I want them to win. I mean, I know it's a possible. I mean, if LeBron doesn't show out, I think they easily win the series.
Right,
LeBron.
Do you think they will win though? Do you have them winning though?
I believe they have a very good chance at winning.
Over 50% or no?
Yeah. Oh yes, over 50%. Yeah, I would easily. Easily. Oh.
Okay. No.
Look at this.
No. Nothing. Ask me.
Yo, the Pacers took, and I'm not trying to discredit the Cavs. This doesn't make them less of a good team. I'm just saying that the Pacers, they went to seven games. So if that's possible, then I think we can beat the Cavs. And LeBron was
damn, nobody want to ask me
in the Indiana series.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody want to ask me.
It's pretty much the Celtics versus LeBron, because the Cavs. Besides that, all right, Rise. Let me ask you this: what seed? I was thinking about this. What seed do you think the Cavs would be if they didn't have LeBron? I'm asking Rise. What seed do you think the Cavs would be?
In the playoff seed.
We have to keep in mind, like, they'd have a player to replace him at least, right? And if they didn't have LeBron, they would need a playmaker. So
they got number one overall pick, maybe.
Yeah. So like, true, but so I don't know. Like, I don't think George Hill's an amazing playmaker. I definitely don't really think Jordan Clarkson is. So, in terms of that team without LeBron. Kevin Love might get in the groove without LeBron, though. So,
barely. He's too inconsistent.
So, like, they could be – I think they could be in the playoffs, an 8 seed, maybe.
8 seed?
But, yeah, like 8 seed,
it's
I would
dependent.
Say. Maybe. But okay. Honestly, they could just as easily be a 12 seed. Like, I don't know. You feel me? Like,
exactly.
They could just as easily be a 12 seed.
I mean, it's crazy because if they were the 8th seed and the Celtics got the number 1 seed, we'd still play them in the first round. So, like,
right. That is
different. Like you were saying, if they didn't have LeBron, then you have to think of who would replace LeBron. So, whoever was in that position might elevate them. Like, if West Rodney said, if they were to get, like, you know, a couple good picks, like, you never know how the team would change. But my biggest, My biggest point, I guess, is when you take away the biggest stars away from the Celtics, and then you have that team, and then you take away the biggest stars away from the Cavs, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. It's like, look
yeah.
at how the Celtics
Wait, no.
perform.
You ought to take away the biggest stars from the Celtics, because they're literally taken away through injury, and they're still doing great to the point that they're in the EFC. Jalen Brown
right.
showing up. Jason Tatum. Showing up, showing why everybody's sleeping on him for Rookie of the Year. Al Horford, he started showing being a big man, backing people down. They beat the Sixers, the favor, in the second round. Whether it was a sweep or it was about they only won one game, they beat them clearly. Now, even though it wasn't like a body bag or a clear sweep blowout almost every game, they still won and came through with the edge without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So imagine what would have happened if at least one of those two would have been on the team.
It's a different cause.
Yeah.
And it's
not really just the players, too. It's the coach system. So shout out to you got Tyronn Lue versus Steve Bratton. That's not even close in the coaching conversation.
Right.
Come on,
obviously.
Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I said Stevenson. My bad, y'all.
Steve Bradson. Bro, that was
Brad
good. Stevenson. Thank you for that.
No problem, man. I don't know
Lee
why.
Lee would have been cracking up right there. I hope
that
Lee's
was
listening
funny.
Somewhere. He just heard that. He's laughing right now. Because he usually been here talking up Brad Stevens all the time. So he would have been going off on this topic.
Hey, look, Brad
Stevens. Yeah, go ahead.
The fact that this man didn't get a vote is, as Stephen A. Smith
Insane.
Would say, blasphemous. It's blasphemous. And
we have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray, and spread up deceit.
Like, I need to know why. I need to know who these broadcasters are, and I need them to come run that fade, bro. They can, bro.
They run that fade.
I'll send them that location. Hey, anyway, what you guys got for Rockets Warriors?
Oh, man, that one's going to be – wait. Are they on tonight, matter of fact? Is that game on tonight?
No, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
They're
tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
I wish
bro.
It was tonight.
That's a hell of a damn. I mean, I think most
if
people
tonight,
knew that match was coming.
Right now.
Yo, right when
no,
right
well,
when CP3 – Right when they did the trade, right when Chris Paul won over there, we knew that was the match. And Rise was lit, bro. Rise was lit right when CP3 got over there. It was lit.
I was hyped.
So, nah, Rise.
I was so hyped.
I think this series is about to be crazy. I don't really know what's going to happen. I think you should tell us
game
about
seven.
It.
Yeah,
I think, Rise,
mean,
you should tell
us game
about
seven.
It.
I want a game break, seven so
I,
bad.
I can break it down a little bit. I mean, you got two similar teams, but also two very different teams for a few reasons. One, you got the Warriors who rely on constant ball movement, off ball screens, and stuff of that nature.
Shooting threes.
Right? No, and, you know, shooting threes. But, you know, they take a lot of mid range shots, too.
Yeah.
And you got the Rockets who, instead of passing the ball all around with everyone, they like to use their playmakers to pass the ball, right? And get in the they like to they run a lot more ISO. They're the best isolation team in the league. They run a lot of high pick and roll to get their point guard going downhill a little bit, at least for Harden. And Chris Paul is unique, and he runs that pick and roll, and he can shoot the mid-range offense, which is kind of different from the Rockets' philosophy of just layups and threes, as we know, right? Because Rockets preach layups and threes, the whole analytics thing. CP3 adds that new element. Now the big man can't just sit down low no more. Anyway, my point is two very different teams, right? Shoot a lot of threes, both of them. And I got the Rockets in seven. So that's my prediction.
And
I got game one going to Houston.
All right, so, and then you didn't tell what happens with the Celtics and the Cavs.
What about them? What was my prediction for them?
Yeah, you didn't, yeah. I mean, you sounded like you were unsure when you asked me. You were unsure about what I was going to say. You asked me if I thought the Celtics had more than a 50% chance. So
I told you that you don't think
they have more than a 50% chance.
No, I mean, originally I had Cavs in six. But, like, now they need to win four out of the five games. And, honestly, I think this thing's going seven. I still might go and say Cavs in seven just because I don't want to be wrong. But if the Celtics win the game tomorrow, I'm going to have Celtics in. I'm going to have Celtics in the five, probably, or six.
Holy shit. It's like we're in another dimension and shit. Thinking about that, wow, the Celtics, Cohen Madden, the Celtics Rockets finals, that's fucking fireworks. Jesus Christ.
I would love that.
Yeah,
did
you win here? Yeah, did you win here?
Hey,
what's another caller. Yo,
hello?
There's another caller. I can't tell who's in here.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yo,
yeah.
Yo, everyone.
Hey,
what's up, Jones? Yeah. Go hang out, Sean. I'm gonna say peace out, and I appreciate chopping that up with you. I gotta dip out, but thank you for having me on again, Keys. I appreciate it. Let me know when the next one is, okay?
All right, bro. Enjoy. Thank you for coming on.
As
all right, Raz. We'll talk soon.
Good talking, Rodney.
No doubt, brother. Appreciate you.
Be safe, man. Now, who is new caller? Is it?
Yo, am I live?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's Yaz.
What's
how
up,
you
bro?
Doing,
how
Lee?
You doing?
How you doing, Keith?
Nah, that's not I'm Lee. Lee's not here. Lee's out to dinner with the wife tonight. So we got Rodney. Rodney. Yeah, this is my brother, Rodney. He's
Rodney.
From New Orleans. Yeah, he's from New
Orleans. Yeah, Rodney, you know, I'd like to hear you then, because I usually come at Lee. I come at Lee. What I love is how we were the underdogs. We were plus, like, 270, and Cavs were minus, like, 240, something like that. We were the complete underdogs coming into this. But we got plus 20, right? But what I love, if you go by stats-wise, on top of it, basically all our starters
racked up more points in the game than LeBron even did in that first, in that game one. Like, we got Morris that hit 21. We got Horford that hit 20. Tatum that hit 16. And Brown that hit 23. And LeBron, his total points in the whole game was 15.
15.
Kevin Love even hit, 15.
17.
Kevin Love only hit, exactly.
17.
You know, but like, yo, like, where's the line at? Where's the line at? But Cavs starters, what, Smith, Hill, Love, James, and what's the other dude? Corver? Corver?
Fuck
yeah.
J.R. Smith?
Yeah, exactly. That's literally the majority of the points. And they got only the bench where Hoods and Clarkson that carried them. But that's it, man. Yo, the Cavs are getting old. You guys got to come to reality. Cavs are getting old. All they have is
Cavs are getting old.
Yeah, they're getting old.
You said the Cavs are getting old. I'm not sure that's accurate as far as them getting old. LeBron maybe, Love maybe, Hill maybe, Corver maybe. But as far as them as a whole, nah, I don't know. They still got some young bucks on there, bro. Like the Cavs aren't the Spurs, dog.
Not even a handful.
Now they got
some. Not even a handful.
They got some. They got Larry Nance, a Zizek guy, Tristan Thompson, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, Osman. Yeah, they got some young bucks on there.
And 2 years ago, yeah, they were a star team. Last year, they were good.
Between 2 years ago and now.
I know.
Go ahead.
All I'm saying is that it's going to be a couple of difficult games coming up all the way, I'd say all the way to game seven, but Celtics is going to come for that one. It's what I would say. All right.
So, look, this is where I'm looking at today. So the Celtics being the higher seed, we still have three more games to play in Boston. So that's like the biggest thing that's on my mind right now. And we can play away too. I don't know what's exactly how we've been doing in away games, but I forget if we closed the series in Philly. That was in Boston. So I mean, we still have at least three more games to play in Boston, being the higher seed. So that's something the Cavs got to deal with. I'm not gonna go deep into that. We understand.
That's not the only thing the Cavs got to deal with, though. If we're being honest. It's one thing that a lot of other teams are really struggling to do that the Cavs are doing perfectly. You want to know what that is?
What?
Defense. They are magnificent in defense. LeBron wasn't just missing wasn't missing most of his 16 shots because he was off. Nah, they was containing him 2-15. They were doing a good job stopping him from getting 20, 25, 30, and 40. Unlike all the other teams, somehow the Raptors were number one seed, but somehow they got swept. LeBron had 20, 30, 40 against them. Pacers, despite them going game seven, LeBron have 40-plus points down there every game with triple-doubles. But as far as the Cavs, the rest of the Cavs, they're too inconsistent. One day, they might be connecting full cylinders, working together and getting buckets. The next day, they might not be the same. But the one thing, whether they're on the good day or not, that they always lack, unlike the Celtics, is defense, which is why it was a freaking blowout tonight. And it was nothing in response because it was shutting down LeBron. And you shutting down LeBron, you shut down the Cavs. It's like a body. You knock down the head, the rest of the body shall fall. Go ahead. That was fire.
So you play.
That was fire. Damn, bro.
I feel good. Good.
Yo, I don't know how you're saying rely on one person. Practically what you're saying is that the whole Cavs, all they have to base around is one guy to lead them to the finals. That's practically what you're saying.
Pretty much.
You know, at least with the Celtics, everybody put in the same effort.
Yes.
Everybody
doing great doing it. And in different ways too. Marcus Smart, he's barely scoring points, but when he does, it counts. But when he's not scoring, he's scrapping for rebounds. He's diving for the ball. He's playing defense. He's doing a great job. Al Horford, actually being the big man, not just being one of the new generation big men, standing around waiting for an alley-oop to get tossed or doing a pick and roll here and there. No, he's getting in the post. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those two young bucks are balling. They shoot. They being clutch-like. Jason Tatum is using his length to get some nice layups in the clutch, getting some clutch threes. Terry Rozier, popping up when least expected. He's doing great. The bench is doing great, et cetera. Everybody is contributing the best way. Unlike the you look in the Cavs side, all you see is LeBron James got another triple-double. LeBron James got another triple-double. And I love LeBron. LeBron my favorite player in the world, but I'm not biased. LeBron, he's mostly doing most of the work. Kevin Love is too inconsistent, and he's too stuck with shooting threes at the center position. George Hill is on and off. Kyle Korver, he's a good shooter, but the coaching system is on and off with him. Same thing for J.R. Smith. Larry Nance, he's barely getting rebounds. Jordan Clarkson, he's showing that he's mediocre, and I used to have hope in him. Jose Calderon, he barely gets minutes. Rodney Hood, he barely gets minutes, et cetera. Most of these guys aren't being used correctly because of the coaching, or are inconsistent because of their lack of skill or their lack of consistency. Let's be honest.
Cool. That was a really great breakdown. That was fire.
Thank you.
Fire.
Like I only got to catch like the last when I went out to eat. I had like reservation Mother's Day. Like we talked about this. Like when I was in there, I saw probably the last like 2 minutes of the game with my mom. I was like, damn, is that a 20 piece on the screen? And then I got closer. I was like, nah, that's a 25 piece on the screen. Jesus Christ. And then so I saw the very end of the game, but I didn't get to get all the breakdown that you just gave. So thank you. That was good. It gives me a good idea of what I'm looking at now.
Honestly, I missed most of the game, but I saw a little bit of highlights. I thought, the Celtics, because I know the Celtics are mostly known for their defense before the shooting thing got into play and Kyrie got in there. But I've been to the Celtics were good on defense. But them shutting down LeBron, now that's beautiful. I love LeBron. I would love for him to get another ring. But, hell, I'm glad that the postseason has been entertaining and great, unlike all the last two postseasons that we've been seeing. Unless you're now playing against the Cavs, it's a freaking blowout every time in the East. Unless you're not playing against the Warriors, it's damn near a blowout when you see them. I'm glad it's different this season.
Yeah, and I'm hoping the Rockets give the Warriors a good run for their money too.
Same. I want Game 7 so bad.
Yeah, that would really spice things up. You know.
What do you predict for
crazy.
The finals?
That's going to be a shootout. What did you say?
What are you predicting in the finals?
For the finals? Oh, man. I mean, I'd want to see – like, when I did the playoff bracket before, I did the want-to-sees and what I think will happen. But for this one, I mean, I think the Celtics and Rockets both have a good chance to make the finals.
I hope that.
I hope to see that.
I think everybody's kind of getting tired of seeing the Warriors and Cavs. There's been two straight years. Like after a while, it's like, all right, dog, come on now. Like the third one, I still enjoyed it, but come on now. I think we're getting a little tired. Even though I want to see LeBron there again, like it's kind of exhausting seeing the same person over and over and over, which makes me see why people hate LeBron so much. It's not that whether he's trash or not, or that they're favoring their favorite player, is that we see him every time on ESPN saying he's the greatest. All right, I know he's averaging 40, 10, and 10. I already know. Okay, cool. Now ESPN, I see ESPN made up stats with how many points LeBron makes every time when a particular celebrity goes to their game. LeBron averages 34 points when Rihanna comes to the show. LeBron averages 45 when Drake comes to the game. Who cares? What about getting the finals? What about how many points you get in the playoffs? We don't care about what celebrities are there or not. It's cool that they're watching greatness, but I don't need to know how many points he get every time they're there. That's when they go overboard. which is why people hate, people kind of hate LeBron. And I love LeBron, but some of these medias be boosting people up a little too much. And LeBron, unfortunately,
yeah,
is one of them.
I mean,
yo,
that's one of the most – it's one of the most boring things because when I watch, like, the things these analysts do, and, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, like, I'd really like to be up there. That's, like, a dream job. But at the same time, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be just watching people's stats and saying, oh, when did they score? And then the way that it's like, oh, like, this, the last time he did this was fucking on May 7th, da-da-da, in school last time. You know what I mean? It's just so extra.
Right.
Like, the way they go so deep into the stats and when and who, where,
what
of the stats.
Now,
like, it's like, y'all got too much time in your hands,
though,
man.
There's a difference, though. One, yes and no as far as that, because that's their job with staff hard. But there's a difference between just saying, yo, he averaged, like, he got 30 points in this game, but he had like 6 points in that game. There's a difference between that and just saying, yo, he averaged 25 points when this person come to his game. He averaged 20 points when that person comes to the game. Nobody cares. What about how many points he got when it mattered the most? Like, what about how clutch he is when this happens? What about his willpower? What about you just seeing how great he is and how much potential he is? I don't want to hear about when Rihanna cheering for him or booing against him, whether or not he gets 50. I don't care. I want to know I want to talk about how he got 50. That's all I care about. It's different between just saying, you know, how great they are by using. Sometimes you do need numbers. So that at the end of the day, numbers don't lie. Facts don't lie. Stats don't lie. Stats help how great a player is, because sometimes you need numbers to, like, help prove, yo, this dude is good. This dude is really good. This dude is good. Sometimes that's why they have categories with wins and W's. That's why they,
like,
have stats on how many points they win by. Yeah, yeah. And stuff like that
Westbrook.
Is impressive. Russell getting triple two straight years with, like, a lot of triple doubles, that's impressive. That is impressive. That shows, yo, this man is incredible. Athletic-wise, this man is incredible. But sometimes not everything's about stats. Sometimes it's about willpower or when you get some of those points when it mattered the most. Donovan Mitchell in one of the games against the Rockets, I think the game that they won, I think maybe game three or game four, he was off most of the game, but he came through in the clutch in the last minute and had, like, end of the game with, like, maybe 15 or 20 points, but he was scoring in the fourth quarter. Sometimes it's when you do those buckets, not overall.
Yeah, because you can drop 30 in round one, you know what I mean, of the playoffs, but you got to be able to do it when the moment really matters. You got to show up with that same energy in the finals and in the conference. You know what I mean? LeBron.
You can get 50 points in it. Go ahead.
LeBron might have shot, you know, seven for seven out of threes in game four versus the Raptors. But he then comes game one in Boston and shoots 0 for 5 from three. Versus Boston.
Sometimes it's just you getting shut down by not one guy, but like a group of guys, because help defense helps stop you a little bit. Not everything is just I was off that night. Nah, you got shut down by a great system and a great defensive zone setup. These guys watch film and figure out ways how they could break you down to stop you from scoring. Finally.
Well, true, but without having the analysis of what actually happened, what you said is, like, numbers don't lie. So when you're just looking at the numbers and not knowing anything about how the numbers came about, like you said, you want to know how the 50-point game happened, not just that it was a 50-point game and who came to the game that made LeBron score 50 points. You want to know how the 50 points happened. So then that's like saying, how did the 0 for 5 for 3 points happen? Why did he get shut down? But without that, people that just get the stats only see the numbers. So, like you said, the numbers still don't lie. Adversely.
I got another example. Last year, if you remember, the Suns versus the Celtics, Devin Booker scored 71 points.
How could I forget? That was
impressive,
crazy.
Right?
Dude went off.
Impressive, right? But then you look and see, and you're like, 71, but how did they lose?
They lost
that
game.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they lost that game. I think by 10 points.
Jesus.
I think it was about 10 points.
Damn.
So 71, but they lost.
Well, a lot of people said too. I mean, after that, it was like, wow. I mean, first of all, I was happy that because Devin Booker. I mean, I remember hearing him years ago, and I was like, who the fuck is that? But then you have a moment like this, and it gives him a lot of shine. He's an upcoming. I mean, a couple of years from now, he'll probably be a top guy. You know, so those moments is what gives people the notoriety, you know, that they probably deserve as he develops into a better player, you know?
Yeah, correction. It was 70 points, but he needed 11 to 11 more points to win. The score was 120 to 130.
Jesus.
All that, and you still lost. That's tough. And then you get laughed at for celebrating that. Because, like, yo, that was impressive, but you lost. Why y'all treating it like Will Chamberlain when he scored 100?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's almost – it's not the same exact thing, but it's a kind of similar thing to when they say, you put up – you know, you had four, five, six great games in the NBA Finals, but – you lost the championship anyways. Like, you put up a fight,
and also by how much. Because sometimes you could do great and still get damn near swept. When LeBron faced the Spurs for the first time, when he first went to the finals with no team, despite how good he was, they still got swept. When Allen Iverson went and played against the Lakers back in 2000 in the finals. Allen Iverson was great in that series. Game one especially. That's self-explanatory. Step over Tyronn Lue, 48 points in overtime with the W. In L.A., impressive. But guess what? They lost four straight games the next four straight games, no matter how good he was. Why? Why? Because it's also a team sport. All right, hold on. I got the stats. All right, you got M. Chris. He only scored 3 points in that game. Alex Lynn, 11. Tyler Ulis, 3. Devin Booker, 70. Devin Jones, 9. Dudley, 6. Barbosa, 11. All that. 70 points, but still lost by 10. Somebody else probably could have had maybe 10 or 11 more points in that stat sheet that helped this game be closer. But instead, they lost. Despite the 70-point game that Devin Booker came through with, they still lost. And plus, what make it worse, they didn't even make the playoffs this season. I think they're actually the worst team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, that's just sad. Having that angle, it's just tough. You could have, I mean, it was a good comparison when you were talking about, like, LeBron's first time with the Spurs way back when he was first on Cleveland. When he was, you know, a rookie, he went to the finals, and if the whole team played at his caliber, they probably would have beat the Spurs that first time.
If the whole team played at his
team,
caliber, that would have been a sweep.
Yeah, they would have swept the Spurs, exactly. Or if even, like, one or two more players, maybe even one more player played at that caliber, they would have had a competitive series.
Nah.
If you just had one more.
One or two not going to be enough, because it's more than just two players going against a whole team. There's a reason why there's a thing called role players that comes through. When LeBron with the Heat, Wade and Bosh and LeBron weren't the only ones that was getting buckets. Norris Cole was coming through with threes. Mario Thomas was coming through with clutch layups. Freaking Birdman was coming through with putback dunks. Mike Miller, there was one game he shot 6-for-6 at the three-point line, and he lost a shoe, and they tossed it off the court when he found his shot. And like you see my point? Like, it's a team effort. It's you need a whole
a whole team, 12 to 15 players have to matter. If not 12 to 15, at least 10 of them. At least 10. Because your starting lineup isn't always going to be playing that whole 48 minutes. You're not going to see Rondo every minute of the game. LeBron, he's barely surviving trying to play 48 minutes a game. The man played a whole seven-game series in Indiana. And what was the thing that he said when they asked him after that game seven, how do you feel about playing against the Pacers? I'm not going to lie, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. Those were his exact words. But he played damn near 40-plus minutes every single game that game. Why? Because once LeBron sits down, they go on a streak that's not in the Cavs' favor. You need role players. You need bench players that are consistent.
Yeah, LeBron sits down. Indiana goes on a 10-0 run. Yeah. I mean, LeBron sits down. Then next thing you know, Indiana's 10-0 run in the last, two and a half minutes of play or whatever. I remember seeing that. It's tough because it sucks too. There's a lot of pressure. And I'm a big fan of LeBron. He's got a lot of pressure on him, especially this year, especially playing against the Celtics. That's why I told Raz I think they have more than a 50% chance, easily more than a 50% chance of going the Celtics going to the finals at this point.
But I'm not going to bet LeBron out just yet because I bet him out against the Raptors because I was like, yo, there's no let's be honest. From jump,
Why'd you bet him out versus the Raptors? Why'd you bet him out versus the Raptors? You know why
the
Raptors are never going to beat LeBron? They're never going to beat him because they lose mental warfare. You never heard me talk about this on the show? They lose mental warfare because they are so intimidated and they are defeated before they even get on the court. It's a mental game. They don't even get to play basketball when they play with LeBron. They don't have their own full potential.
But look, let me tell you something. This is the reason why I thought they wasn't better going to make it with the Raptors. Here's the thing. Because, first of all, before the postseason even starts, you're wondering how the chemistry is going to work with this new team after the trades with the Cavs. You already got that dealing with. And half of these guys have no experience in the playoffs. Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nash, they just came from the Lakers. And barely even making it past 500, whatever that stat is. And Jordan Clarkson, he's barely showing up. Jordan Hill, he's on and off, like, et cetera. And plus, you already got a bad coaching system. So, and then you go against the freaking Pacers, game one. I use this all the time since that game happened. Game one, LeBron gets a triple-double with 24 points, but they lose by 18. Game two, LeBron scores the first 16 points in the game before anybody on that court, including the Pacers. The end result, 46 points in that game. But somehow, they only won by 3 points. And then LeBron got to score 40 for damn near the rest of the series. So it's like, well, damn, if you're struggling with the Pacers, the Raptors improved a lot. Not even just with DeMar and Kyle Lowry, but the bench as well. The bench, the role players, they look great offensively and defensively. And that automatically makes you think, oh, they're probably going to win at least one game. And then, shockingly, they get swept. And you're like, well, what the hell happened, Raptors? I don't think anybody expected – even if you would have bet on the Cavs, I don't think you would have thought that they would have swept them. You would have thought maybe at least Cavs in six or Cavs in seven and four. Be honest, Keys. You didn't expect them to sweep them.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it was not until the second or third. I think it was once the Cavs went up 3-0, that's when I was like, all right, they're going to win game four. This is over. But not until that point
cool.
did I.
Because the first two games was in Toronto. I think the first two games were in Toronto.
No, you're right.
So you beat them at home
Toronto was the number one seed.
At,
yeah,
you beat
them
at their house.
And Toronto is usually nasty at home. Like, if you remember, I don't know if it was last year's playoffs or the one before, because Toronto and Cleveland faced off in the second round. This is, I think, the second or third straight year they've faced off in the second round.
And that's crazier because you think about it, they did better last year than they did this year because they at least won two games last year. They didn't win any
series. Last year, it was either last year or the year before. Because I know Toronto, I'm pretty sure they swept Toronto. This is the second time I think they swept Toronto. It's not the second time?
It might have been the year before last year. Maybe. I got to look back at it.
I swear I'm pretty sure this is the third year they played Toronto. They swept them once more. Yeah, but I think last year might have been the time when Toronto, they won both games at home. So they won two. They won both their home games back-to-back. But Cleveland was the was the higher seed that year. Only this year they were number one seed. Cleveland was number four, so they had the first two games at home. But then, you're right, when they lost both games at home, I knew they were going to lose the series, but I still didn't think that they didn't have a chance to take one in Cleveland. But then once I seen game three, and then they lost in Cleveland game three, I was like, all right, now Cleveland's definitely taking game four. They have no chance. That's once they won game three in Cleveland, I said they didn't steal this one. They're definitely losing game four. They have no chance. But, yeah, it was not until that time that I think that the Cavs would have swept the Raptors.
Man, those game winners were heartbreakers, first of all. And then for game four to be just a beatdown, like that dog. So that would have made you think, yo, what? Like you wonder, like, yo, I hope the Celtics don't get the same. I'm glad they didn't. Good God, because – with, I don't know what the Raptors are self-destructive. To be being honest, I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
it was like
I'm telling
you, like clutch time, there was bricking everything, layups.
It was tough to watch that game, bro. I think I was watching Game Four at my brother's house at that time, and I think it was. At halftime, I think I just left. I was like, yeah, this I was like, I can't do this no more. I got to go do something else with my life. I can't watch this no more, bro. This shit was sad.
I wouldn't play 2K.
Yeah, man, exactly. You got to try and, like, play the matchup on 2K and do better as Toronto.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. All right, real quick, Keys. What are your thoughts on the Sixers?
Oh, man, you know, I was so proud because watching the Sixers play this year, I was so proud. Like, and I forget who it was that came out. Dwayne Wade came out, and this is when I was like, damn, like the Sixers are getting even looks from the legends. Like, Dwayne Wade came out, I think it was like a month before the playoffs started, and he was like, man, this Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Sixers team is special. And I was like, man, salute to that. They got the OGs, the fucking, you know, Dwayne Wade, legend, NBA. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I'm glad they're getting looks, you know, out here because this team, their athleticism was I was happy to see it. You know, Ben Simmons hitting the, you know, Ben Simmons had some great moments that I was proud of seeing, watching their highlights back. Joel Embiid was stepping up his shooting. I feel like he stepped up a lot with his shooting, having, you know, 30-point games and stuff like that. It was crazy. I feel like the Sixers overall, like, they had a lot of potential, and they still do. Like, they still have a lot of potential going into the playoffs. I was even happy just seeing them make the playoffs. I was like, man, when's the last time? I was like, what's the last time the Sixers were decent? When Allen Iverson
2012, 2013.
Was on –
22. No, no,
nah,
oh, yeah. You being disrespectful. Andre Iguodala was relevant before he went to the Warriors, dog. Him and Lou Williams and Mo and Thaddeus Young. I remember when it was in the playoffs in 2012-ish, 2011, 2012. Like, yeah, that was the last time it was in the playoffs. That was the last time it was in the playoffs. My man says it's Allen Iverson. That's messed up. Like, Andre Iguodala wasn't good with the Sixers. Lou Williams, goodness gracious. I remember that.
So, Yeah, I apologize for that. What's it called? Okay, shout out to Allen Iverson. Shout out to Iverson. That dude was like a hero when
I was young. I'm not even a Sixers fan. I'm supporting him definitely.
Everybody, I remember in my school, everybody was wearing Iverson jerseys. Everybody that was like a basketball player in my school had an Allen Iverson jersey. That dude was like everybody's hero when I was young, bro. That shit was crazy. He was awesome.
I got AI jersey.
And he never won a championship either, right?
Nope. He only made it to the finals one time against the Lakers when he stuck over Tyronn Lue. The same example that I used earlier.
Jesus.
Yep.
What's it? So
there's
I feel
a lot
like
of great
the
players
current...
that never got rings.
Yeah, no, that's a whole nother topic. We could get into that too. That's a topic for another day. So
we already
we over by a minute now. So I feel like the Sixers, they still have potential going into the next season. Like I would like to see some improvements in them. And I think Ben Simmons could still step it up more. I mean, I like what I saw, like in with his athleticism. You know, the way in his drive, like in certain games, what I was seeing, like, you know, watching back their highlights. And but I still think he can make some improvements, especially the way he looked versus the Celtics. I mean, there was some games where he was just almost, I didn't even know he was out there. Exactly.
He needed a jump
shot. I didn't even know.
He needed a jump shot.
I had no clue.
That's been established, though. It's just because it's the playoffs, the playoffs kind of expose in clutch time what your weaknesses are. So now it's because you're playing against the tougher opponents consistently all this week instead of just playing the Celtics on Monday, the Suns on Wednesday, the Pelicans on Friday, the Jazz on Saturday. You're playing the exact same tough team in the playoffs, so it shows more of your weakness than usual, especially when, like, they got focused on you for the week. Instead of just moving on to the next person every week, then the next person every day, and the next person after that every day. Then they try to focus on their weaknesses so they can move on. But luckily for the Sixers, which is like the part that I was tweeting about before and after they lost, because I remember Marcellus Woolley was tweeting, yo, what part of the process is this? I said, it's only the beginning of the process, I'm going to be honest. There's a reason why the keyword of hashtag trust the process is process. They got a whole offseason to improve from. And plus, this loss of the series is more of a gain for them than a loss because this builds experience. If you think about it. So now Joel Embiid knows what to do in the playoffs. Ben Simmons knows what to do in the playoffs. They know how to handle the pressure now. Well, at least they know a little bit of how to handle the pressure. And then they improve off of that. They get better. Ben decides, okay, I'm going to work on jumpers this offseason. I'm going to try to get more weight. Joel, he said, I'm going to work on backing up more. I'm going to work on my jumper some more. Work on fade. Work on more of my post moves to improve, et cetera. TJ, focused on distributing. Markelle Fultz, he'll show improvement. Meanwhile, the organization, they could probably get some more veteran knowledge from some players that have been on good teams to bring them to their organization to help them not only improve the star players but improve the teams as well. And next thing you know, they might be in the finals the next 2-3 years. You never know. They got so much potential.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the keyword of trust the process is process. You're not going to get it right away.
Yeah, you know.
But they're showing great progress.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do in the next couple seasons. You know, they have time to work in the off season, so we'll be seeing.
By the way, I don't
want to
toot my horn, but I'm talking that stuff right now. I'm talking right now.
Yeah,
go ahead, Okie.
Yeah, nah, Rodney, you know, this is a This is a really great special co-host for tonight because, you know, he's really in the moments where I wasn't as informed. Rodney has been much more informed in the areas where I was uninformed. And in those times when he came through, he really came through with the information. So for everybody who was listening, looking for something, I didn't have the answer. Rodney had the answer. So I appreciate that, bro. And you
hey,
killed
man,
it.
Thank you.
There was
thank
many
you.
Moments
I appreciate
where,
that.
And we had no problem. We just had to say, wow, that was fire. Because that was really fire. Like there was a couple moments I was just like, damn, like this breakdown is like, this sounds like I'm courtside for this right now. Like I feel like I'm just sitting in the commentator's box, like just like hearing the game as it's going on. Like, you know, I'm on like the post show right now.
I might have to be an ESPN analyst or something, man.
Yeah.
First take
I
have to call me or something.
Yeah, like, you know, Shaq's got to put you on payroll. That is wild. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, like, you know, I always say call up anytime. You know, people call in tonight and, you know, we had different things that, you know, on people's minds and things like that, and you know, you hear guests calling and just jump into the conversation, or you know, I might transition, but then everybody gives their 2 cents on the transition. So, you know, I always say call up and talk whatever's on your mind. Speak your mind. You know, the number is 917-889-3251. You know, 917-889-3251. Call up and speak what's on your mind. Talk with us. And if you need any, you know, sports knowledge, I got my boy Rodney who's going to hook you up. He's going to lace you with everything you need to know. So it's all good. And also, check out his show. I'm not sure what happened. Check out his show as well. Rodney, can you give the people the name of your show? He's on YouTube. You got to go check this out. Rodney, shoot him the name of your show.
My show is called The Stuff Talk Session, where I talk my stuff like I'm doing right now. On the show, me and my co-host Sam, shout out to him. We just talk about stuff that goes on during the week, and then we talk about stuff that we feel big subjects that we feel need to be addressed on things that goes on in the world. For example, the talk phase, Fred Zone, why certain things happen to certain people, etc. Just not really random stuff, but stuff that's very irrelevant and that starts conversation, and it's thing that we feel that we need to address. Now, if you want to see what's going on in the show, or you want to understand what I mean by it, just check out, go on my YouTube, Rodney Griffin Jr., and check out the Stuff Talk Session. If you can't find it by searching my name, just search Stuff Talk Session, and it will pop right out, trust me. Unfortunately, my quality is not like HD-like because I'm doing all this through my phone. And I'm recording most of the stuff and editing through my phone. But trust me, once I get bread, I'm stepping everything up. I promise you guys. Now, if you want to listen to the show live, it comes on every Thursday at 1 o'clock. And in order to listen to it live, download the EmFam Radio app. EmFam Radio. Download that app. As soon as you click in, I come on at 1 and start talking. Me and Sam start talking. We address things that need to be addressed for the people. Please, I hope you guys enjoy the show if you actually are listening and decide to go check out the show. Thursday, every Thursday at 1 o'clock, well, in my time zone, because I live in New Orleans, every Thursday at 1 o'clock, for Keys at 2 o'clock. For anybody else in any area code, you do the math. I don't have time to do it. But if whenever you get the time, just check it out on YouTube. Every Thursday, check it out on the EmFam Radio app. Please enjoy the show and support, man. I appreciate you guys so much.
If you're on the East Coast, Thursdays at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Go check that out. So,
that was a mouthful.
What did you say?
Now I'm saying that was a mouthful. Good Lord.
Yeah. So, but you know, I mean, I'm pretty tired at this point. I'm kind of losing my train of thought here. You probably can tell. Anyways, yeah, go check out my boy's show. I feel like I'm falling asleep right now. You didn't put me to sleep what you were saying. I just think I ate too much earlier, and the calories are getting to me right now. I think I'm burning out with the burning of my calories. I'm not like a science major or anything. I don't even know what's going on inside my body, but it seems like it's shutting down. So hopefully I'm not dying.
I know how you feel.
hopefully we'll be good. You know, like,
I'm calling 911 for Boston somehow.
Yeah, you gotta get me in an ambulance, bro. So Lee is, you know, Mother's Day is already a wrap, and this week we're gonna hit you with a couple more shows because of to bounce back from the lack of shows that we've been doing the past like 2 months or so. It hasn't been, you know, we've been really busy with things like that. I've been in school. Lee's been, you know, we're always working and grinding and doing what he's doing and with the family and things like that. So, you know, but we want to bounce back with a lot of content, so we're going to be doing that. We plan to have at least two more shows, probably two more shows this week. We're probably going to – what's today, Sunday? I think we're gonna be back on tomorrow night, and we're gonna probably be getting on again on Wednesday night. And you never know, there might even be another show. I might even go for a third show, actually be the fourth show. That'll be four shows, you know, counting tonight's show. So there might be another one on the weekend. Maybe we'll get Rodney back on and chop up some other things. We didn't even get to talk about Infinity War. We were talking about Infinity War earlier, in the really early opening minutes. We didn't even get to talk about that. That's a whole nother show right there.
Oh.
Just talking about Infinity War.
Oh,
that movie,
that might
crazy.
Be another hour and 30 minutes.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Actually, oh, damn, that movie. If anybody hasn't seen Infinity War, yeah, go ahead.
Don't listen to the show. We're gonna spoil. If you haven't seen Infinity War, don't listen to the show because we got all spoilers. We don't give a damn how you feel. We're gonna talk exactly.
If you're going to listen to the show that talks about Infinity War and you haven't seen the movie, that's your own fault. Right off from the jump, that's your own fault, because why would you even watch that? You should already be watching the movie. You should be going to see it. There's no reason to listen and hear about the movie. Just go see it. And then don't be mad when you got the spoilers. You shouldn't have been looking on the internet about it. You should just go see it. Expect the spoilers. Damn. So anyway.
Facts.
But you want to talk about it now
or wait till another time?
No, we're gonna get into that probably on the extra show this week, because me and Lee are gonna get on tomorrow night. We're probably gonna get another show for y'all on Wednesday, and then maybe, you know, we'll have Lee and Rodney. Hopefully Lee has seen Infinity War. I would hope that he's seen it. I feel like he probably did see it, knowing him, but I haven't talked to him about it, so I don't know. But hopefully we can get Rodney and Lee on the same show, because for some reason, you know, the past couple of times, we haven't been able to schedule both of them with their schedules, get them on the same show together. So hopefully we can try and do that. And maybe that'll happen maybe Thursday night or maybe Saturday or something like that. So we'll try and get that one in. We're not sure what day, but you know what I mean? Calling and speaking mind every time. I've said the number about 2 zillion times, so I'm not even going to say it again. Like I always say, watch out for tornadoes, all right? And be good to the polar bears, okay? Because there's a lot of endangered species out there. We gotta recycle plastic. We gotta recycle cardboard. We gotta recycle paper. You know, try and switch to the paperless option on your bank statement. Try and switch over, and so you don't have to get all this, you know, fake mail and random things going. Just send it to your email, because there's no need. You rather have 60,000 things in your inbox than have 60,000. Papers coming to your mail that you just rip in half and throw in the trash. And there's no need to have all that paper wasted. We're killing the trees. So that's how I feel about it.
That's,
you know, peace and love, everybody. Positivity. And wake up tomorrow with a purpose and go get some things done. That's how I feel about it. Productivity is key. And self-discipline. If you're in college, self-discipline is the number one key. Number one key.
Oh,
I don't care.
Real.
Number
Good
one key.
God.
So self-discipline. If you're in college, and if you're in college or doing anything else, productivity is what it's all about. If you make your bed in the morning, you will achieve many more things in the day than you would if you didn't make your bed in the morning. That's something that I try to remind myself. Some other person said that once, and then once I started doing it, I realized that it kind of works. You know, you put yourself to more tasks, and then you'll get more tasks done. Put yourself to less tasks, and you're not going to get more tasks done. So productivity, that is what it is. Be productive, call into the show and talk about your productivity, because we want to talk about that and we want to hear you being productive. So that's that. Thank you to my special co-host, Rodney. Shout out to Rise for calling in. Shout out to Yaz for calling in. Our other guests who had dropped off the call from before. Shout out to the homies. Shout out to Lee enjoying Mother's Day with the wife and the kids and the family. We will be back soon enough. We'll be chopping up with y'all tomorrow night. Shout out to my special co-host, Rodney. He's the best. All our sports analytics, we got everything for you. Appreciate you for coming on, brother. And everybody, have a good night and have a good sleep and wake up tomorrow and be productive. I'll see y'all next time, man, which will be tomorrow. Peace out. Have a good night.
Thanks. Easy.
Rodney, peace out, brother.